Federal and state officials are tallying up the losses from Hurricane Katrina, and the costs keep going up. President Bush is expected to ask Congress for a second emergency budget request for hurricane relief. Congressional leaders say that next request could top $40 billion, and that will not be the end of it. The loss in culture caused by Hurricane Katrina is hard to quantify. How much damage has been done to museums, parks, galleries, and theaters is not yet known. Leaders in the arts and cultural communities are starting to take stock of what survived and what may be gone forever. NPR's Elizabeth Blair reports.
After the Civil War, after he served time in prison, and after the charges of treason against him were dropped, Jefferson Davis, the president of the Confederacy, moved to Biloxi, Mississippi, where his home has become an important historical landmark.
Regardless of whether you agree with Jefferson Davis and whether his decisions were correct or not, he definitely is an important figure in America's history.
Ken Papoul is Mississippi's Deputy State Historic Preservation Officer.
He served in Congress in both houses of Congress. He was Secretary of War under President Pierce. He actually put in place many of the facilities that modernized the U.S. Army that eventually were used against his efforts as president of the Confederacy.
Jefferson Davis retired to a beachfront mansion in Biloxi called Beauvoir. It became the site of his presidential library and held many of his personal papers and other memorabilia. Ken Papoul says much of the estate was completely destroyed by the storm.
The two flanking pavilions, one of which housed a guest house, and the other, Jefferson Davis's library, were completely destroyed. We can find almost no evidence of them. And then the storm surge hit the main house, and it completely blew out the basement area, which is an above-ground raised basement. And waters rose up and also went through the main house, but it is so sturdily constructed and so cleverly constructed to adapt to such storms. The house survived intact, although it's badly damaged. It was amazing that many of the portraits and things of that nature are still hanging on the walls in the house, or at least they were yesterday until we salvaged them and brought them to Jackson for safe storage.
Papoul believes the house is restorable, and they're trying to salvage its contents. Also damaged in Biloxi, a Frank Gehry addition to the Orr O'Keeffe Museum of Art. The addition was about a year from completion. A casino barge landed on it and killed some of the large oak trees that were part of the design. The New Orleans Museum of Art fared much better. It's home to a large collection of European and American painting, sculpture, and photography, and works by Edgar Degas, who spent about 6 months visiting relatives in New Orleans after the Civil War. Museum director John Bullard says one outdoor sculpture collapsed, but for the most part, the museum survived because it sits on high ground. He says the 100-year-old building has been shelter for museum staff in previous storms, and Katrina was no different.
Six members of our staff agreed to stay, and some members of their families and other families of other members came there. And they were there through the hurricane, and we spoke to them on Monday evening, and the museum survived the hurricane very well. The roof was intact. The windows were not damaged at all. There was no water in our basement, which is where our art storage rooms are. We lost telephone contact. But we did hear through the Times-Picayune website that FEMA representatives went to the museum on Tuesday to evacuate our staff, and they said, no, we're not going to go. This is our responsibility. Unfortunately, we also heard that on Friday, National Guard troops arrived and at gunpoint forced our staff and the other people in the museum to leave. Fortunately, we had already started to make arrangements with our insurance underwriters to bring in a private security force, an armed force, since we were, of course, very concerned about the looting.
Other cultural centers in New Orleans seem to have escaped the worst of the damage. To a lot of people, New Orleans is about music, architecture, and food. The historic French Quarter and Garden District have largely escaped the flooding, as have many of the city's famous restaurants. The legendary jazz institution, Preservation Hall, is said to be dry and still standing, as is the club Tipitina's.
We kind of call it the musical soul of New Orleans. Its kind of patron musical saint was a man named Henry Rowland Byrd, who was known as Professor Longhair.
Tipitina, tra-la-la-la, oh-la-la-la.
Tipitina's music director, Adam Shipley, is hopeful that New Orleans will rebuild and once again attract visitors, not only to his club, but to the massive jazz fest that draws thousands of people from all over the world to New Orleans every spring.
I hope to God we can have a Mardi Gras, but I think that's in question. If we pull off a jazz fest year, it would be a beautiful thing, and I hope that we can do that, and that would be a great way where people could support the city as well. But right now, I think it's just survival and assessment and then taking it from there. But, I mean, mark my words that, you know, myself and probably most people around me will not abandon this city, and we will rebuild this city because it's just too much soul and too much of our hearts and our lives.
A spokesman for Jazz Fest says even though there's been some flooding on the festival grounds, the annual event will be back. And next year, they're hoping it'll make Live 8 look like a house party. Elizabeth Blair, NPR News.
And you can get a look at some of the historic buildings Elizabeth spoke about at NPR.org. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.